Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Yes, we are totally going to celebrate the better weather over here in the western part of the state, because seasonal affective disorder, as we talked about the other day, is real, even in the summertime. Carolyn Fiddler joins us from what appears to be sunny Pittsburgh as well, and the Netroots Nation Convention of Progressive Activists. To get back to the convention itself and its roots, sorry, didn't mean to forgive the pun. But before it was Netroots, it was, again, aligned with a blog called Daily Kos, which launched 20 years ago to give very, very frustrated progressives an outlet in the wake of the 2000 presidential election, which, you know, remains in my mind downright criminal, and then the ramp up, you know, toward the Iraq War. And so you had this frustration with George W. Bush, Karl Rove, and all of his friends. And then you had, you know, years later, the joy of the Obama years. And then if you thought W was something, here comes Donald Trump. And now in the wake of that wreckage is the sense that, again, for everything that Trump has put us through, and everything that's allegedly being investigated, he still has not really faced justice for any of this. Does that lead to any kind of a sense of defeatism for the progressives that have had to endure Bush and then had to endure Trump? Or are these the bright, shiny people who are, you know, relentlessly upbeat and believe that you know, we're not done seeking justice when it comes to Trump and friends?
Definitely the latter. And these are folks who, these are progressives from all across the country, from very red states to very blue states. So we have progressives with every perspective in terms of they're tired because they just fight all the time, but they're still at it, to folks from California who are like, oh, we can do better even out here and be more progressive even. And that's actually, I'm glad you brought up Daily Kos's history, because Daily Kos has always been about more and better Democrats, like that they are an activist organization. They endorse candidates. And even sometimes in primaries, because, you know, in Texas, Cisneros was running against the last anti-abortion Democrat in Congress. And that was important to Daily Kos, so they endorsed her. Daily Kos has been around forever. Marcos, a lot of people don't realize, the guy who founded it, is a veteran, and he just vented his frustration about the Iraq War and everything around it, and that's how things got started. And
it was rather instrumental, yes, in giving, you know, when Bush and the others were really wrapping themselves up in the flag. I don't think at that point progressives, you know, coming out of the Bill Clinton years and everything from Vietnam, I don't think they had really found their post 9/11 voice yet. No. And this really helped, especially having a place where progressive veterans could say, yes, these are my values and I feel like I'm home. But now those values are under threat more than ever because of Trump and what he and others are doing to attack democracy. And that in the wake of everything that's been discovered, there are still so many people who are going along with the big lie. Let me get my very fancy computer printout scribbled here on the level of confidence that people have in the results of the 2020 presidential election. Overall, it's basically 66-33, 2-to-1 margin. People are confident in the election results. But among Republicans, it's almost flipped. 62-37 have some degree of a lack of confidence in the 2022 or in the 2020 election. So heading into 2022, it is unnerving to still see so many people embracing, an authoritarian, you know, a wannabe strongman. Again, with that as the backdrop for this convention, how do you talk about reaching independent voters or even Republican voters who still haven't gone full-blown big lie? What's the message to them about the importance of putting country before party?
Well, I mean, as you indicated, like a lot of those folks just can't be reached, and democracy really is under threat. And I wonder, the 6633 number, like people who are confident just generally across parties, what was that, you know, for 8-12 years ago? Like, I like to think that believing in the results number was higher. Like, it's a, like, but we're in a really weird space now, and democracy really is under threat. And Netroots is reflecting that. A lot of, like, panels are submitted to Netroots, and they pick ones they want to have at their convention. And the panels this year are really centered around abortion and misinformation and fighting to preserve democracy. So that is a massive theme here. We haven't figured out the answer quite yet. But and it's going to differ, you know, depending on where you are. There's no sort of universal, I think, silver bullet here.
You talked about studying the defeat in Virginia, but I'm guessing there has been just as much discussion about the win in Kansas. That was such a surprise to folks. And yesterday, I want to say, was it Target Smart, the Democratic data firm, put out numbers that indicated that the gender gap in new registrations was amazing in Kansas. It was 40%, a 40% gap between new voters who are women versus men, followed by Idaho, followed by Wisconsin, number three on that list. So as I've said a few times, and probably will say more over the next 81 days, I don't think this issue of a right-wing Supreme Court repealing Roe v. Wade is a flash in the pan. It's motivating people.
It is. And it's, I was actually skeptical about its potential impact on this election this year in 2022. But I'm delighted to be clearly proven wrong. It's really motivating people already. And I think it's only going to become a stronger motivator for women, for people who believe in women having bodily autonomy. Mm-hmm. Because people are going to die. Like, we're having stories already, like people being forced to carry their rapist babies to term. But we're going to have more of that. People are going to die. And we're going to have a lot of horror stories between now and 2024. And you know, if we can preserve democracy that long, it's going to be a big motivator then, too.
One of the things that I think has been key is that those stories were frequently kind of kept in the shadows. People didn't want to talk about them. People didn't want to hear about them. And so I think a lot of people thought these stories were overblown, that it was all hyperbole. And it turns out that real stories, real stories from real people about real bad outcomes still has as much impact as ever.
Yes. I mean, people can relate. Like, everyone knows someone, everyone probably knows someone who's had an abortion, honestly. But that's, people are starting to talk about that more too, which is good. But everyone knows someone who's been sexually assaulted. Everyone knows someone who is impacted by something attached to the abortion conversation, if not an actual abortion itself. So this is a more universal issue than I think that Republicans bargained on. Republicans are the dog that caught the car here. They're trying to minimize it. They're like, oh, this really doesn't change anything. It's just moved it to the states. That is garbage. And everyone knows it.
True. So I'm thinking about what people would want to take away, not just from a single issue, but from this entirely, not just the people who are there, who will have their own takeaways, but those who are hearing about this, those who are starting to plug in. Again, they might be those who are newly registered to vote. What tips, tricks, resources, what is it that you could pass along to a layperson saying, well, I know you couldn't be there, but here's something to keep in mind as you're talking to your neighbors between now and November 8th?
Well, I'm a big believer in letting people know that they can help, that they can make a difference, have an impact. They're not powerless. And so, and a big theme of Netroots Nation is empowering voters and empowering progressives, empowering marginalized communities. So that's always a huge takeaway from Netroots, and it's more important now than ever. People need to know that they, you know, voting matters. It makes a huge difference, and they need to vote all the way down the ticket. Netroots has always had a really good focus on those down ticket races, attorneys general, secretaries of state ledge, things like that, things where that very, very directly impact whether or not someone can get an abortion. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff's on the ballot this fall.
So you have made much of your work is done in following state level politics, nationally. So you're looking at multiple states, and it's where we're so thankful to have you at Courier now to be doing that for us as we're in multiple states. I've talked to our colleagues, obviously, in some of the other big states this year, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and of course, Wisconsin as well. Not that I'm not asking to make predictions up and down the line. What I'm asking is, as you look at this from a state level, do you think there's going to be similar outcomes in these and other states? Or do you think it's very much going to be a checkerboard and things might go one way in, Michigan, but wildly the other way in Arizona? So are we seeing a national trend, or is each state pretty much on their own?
Each state is not on their own, although obviously each state has its very distinct political personality. But I think statewide, Democrats are going to do better because a lot of people, I feel like not enough people are talking about this, but this is the first election cycle after this most recent round of redistricting, and Republicans controlled it in most states. So down ballot stuff, U.S. House and state ledge is an uphill ice skating endeavor, yes, basically. So it was always going to be a tough election for Democrats for those races, because Republicans got to draw the seats the way they wanted again. So, but then in places like Michigan, which you mentioned, they had an independent redistricting commission, a good one, not to be confused with Virginia's, which was a bad one. Mm-hmm. So maps there are looking a lot better, a lot more fair than they have in decades, which is a very nice change of pace. And so it's going to be a real mixed bag. It's not going to be good or bad for one party everywhere, for sure. But things are not as bad for Democrats as they could be.
I'm hearing a sense of tempering expectations because, again, it looks like Democrats are not going to do nearly as poorly as was thought, about 4, 5, 6 months ago. But I know, for example, when I was elected to the legislature in 2006, I mean, that was a wave year. I mean, yes, so many people were sick of Bush, and Democrats won legislative seats that hadn't been won in 80 to 100 years.
Yeah.
And no, I know people are thinking, oh, well, that just needs to happen again. But the maps look nothing like 2006.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Because in 2010, Republicans controlled even more of the redistricting process than they do now somehow. Mm-hmm. And then the 2012 election was savage. I like to talk about election night 2010 as the longest election night of my life, with apologies to people who are still scarred from 2016. I get that. But watching those legislative chambers fall one by one by one, and knowing what that meant for the next decade in U.S. House races and state legislative races was just so depressing. And people finally caught on 2 years later in 2012 when Obama won re-election. And Democrats got, 3 million more votes for U.S. House seats, and yet still came in many seats under Republican, like in the minority, a healthy minority, to be honest,
yeah,
despite getting more votes.
I would direct anybody, and I don't have a link to offer, but and again, I say this as somebody scarred from being caught up in the 2010 shellacking, look up what Samantha Bee on her show Full Frontal did. I don't remember when she did it, but she looked back at 2010 and basically told America, you really messed up by staying home in 2010 like you did. It carried impact that is still with us today. To wrap things up, again, not to put you on the spot, I will simply say the new polling, both Marquette and Fox News show Mandela Barnes with a lead, and the governor's race is tight. Do you see a lot of motion in that over the next 80 days? Do you see this as a trend that might just stay flat, or are you refusing to put yourself on the record in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, I'm not going to refuse to put myself on the record. This is an honest conversation. I'm just going to say what I think. And no one's ever accused me of being a political optimist. I got my start in Virginia politics in 2000, and you're not an optimist when you do that.
Well, good. But, you got 10 seconds to tell me how it's going to go then.
I think trends are moving towards Democrats. It's not dispositive. We could still lose, but it's looking better than it was.
There you go. I'll take that. Carolyn Fiddler, thanks so much. Enjoyed the conference. We'll talk to you on the other side.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back to wrap up this hour's conversation next. You're up north.